This is Maryland Viewpoints, an in-depth discussion of the events and issues impacting our state. Now, from the studios of the Maryland News Network, this is Maryland Viewpoints with Meredith Marks.
Welcome to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks, and this week we have the American Diabetes Association with us, Mr. David McShay. And I just want to start out by saying one quote to you all. Diagnosed diabetes costs an estimated $7 billion in Maryland each year. David, that number is staggering to me. Welcome aboard.
It is staggering. Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me, Meredith. And it is a very staggering number. Unfortunately, it is that way all across the country. Currently, one in seven healthcare dollars in our country is spent on a person with diabetes. So
wow.
A significant burden to our healthcare system.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your role right now with American Diabetes Association.
Absolutely. So I have the pleasure of being the executive director for the Maryland chapter of the American Diabetes Association. We are a national organization. We have over 30 chapters around the country. And in my role, I'm basically helping us to bring to life the mission and vision of our national organization right here in Maryland. And our mission is to prevent and cure diabetes and to improve the lives of all people affected by diabetes. And that takes place in really three different ways. The first is we really focus on research. So we fund over $30 million of research around the country each year that is focused on all types of diabetes. So there's type 1 diabetes, there's type 2 diabetes, gestational diabetes, and the research ranges anywhere from advancements in how to treat a person with diabetes to a research that's focused exclusively on trying to find a cure for diabetes. The second pillar that we focus on is advocacy. So this comes to life in a number of different ways, both nationally and locally. On a national level, we're constantly pushing for more funding from the NIH for diabetes. Diabetes is woefully underfunded based on the amount of people that are touched by it in America. Over 30 million Americans have diabetes, and 84 million Americans have prediabetes. And so we focus on increased funding through NIH. We also protect people from being discriminated against who have diabetes. And believe it or not, that takes place more often than you would think. For instance, we just helped pass a law that has been decades in the making, basically allowing people with diabetes that are pilots, commercial mm-hmm. pilots across the country, prior to this law being passed, if they were diagnosed, let's say a pilot was diagnosed with diabetes, they could be told, well, you're fired. You can no longer be a pilot. And the reality is a person with diabetes can do anything if they're well controlled with their diabetes. And so this law protects them. Also, insulin affordability is huge right now. The cost of insulin, which is basically life support for a person with diabetes who takes it, has tripled over the past decade, and no one really knows why. So we're at the forefront of pushing for transparency around that to change laws to make insulin affordable for everyone. And then the last pillar we have is really supporting people, and this takes place in so many different ways. We have one of those comprehensive websites, diabetes.org, that we encourage people to check out information for people with diabetes, caregivers, healthcare professionals, anyone and everyone. We also have a bilingual call center, which gets over 5,000 calls a month. Anything from, I can't afford my insulin, what do I do, to I'm newly diagnosed, I need resources. And then on a local level, we have several programs that are really our focus. The first is we have a camp for children with diabetes that we do in conjunction with Johns Hopkins called Camp Charm City.
Wow.
We started that last year and had over 40 kids attend. This year, we have a goal of doubling it this summer, which we're really excited about. And then lastly, we have an educational conference that is really geared towards people on the front line of caring for people with diabetes and those at risk. So like primary care physicians and nurses, and we basically train them on how do you treat a person with diabetes. So one of the things that the ADA does nationally is we set the standards of care for how do you treat a person with diabetes. And with the advancements of medical technology and different drugs available to help people with diabetes, that changes very rapidly. So we pull all that information together, synthesize it, and then teach back out to doctors and nurses on how to treat those patients.
Wow. I'm going to just say, David, that Diabetes affects people in so many different ways. In fact, I'm going to get a little personal here and I'm going to say how it has affected me. My grandmother had diabetes too before she passed away. I had gestational diabetes when I was pregnant with my twin girls. And luckily that went away after I gave birth to them. And then I was in a car accident where the other driver didn't take his medicine and went into a diabetic coma and put me in back surgery. So there are many ways that diabetes touches different people. And plus, I have a friend whose son recently was diagnosed with diabetes 1, and I think he's in second or third grade. So she's had to learn pretty quickly how to go around the clock with this. And I do say that honestly, because when you have a child that's recently diagnosed, you got to learn so much, and you literally, it's an around the clock thing, right? Where they have to really watch them, monitor them at all hours.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you hit on two things that I think many families across our region and then also across the country feel, which is, first of all, a lot of times we don't just know one person, right? We are touched by diabetes in a myriad of ways.
Yes.
My father has type 2. My sister has type 1. I have aunts, uncles, cousins. My grandfathers both died from complications of diabetes. So yes, it is pervasive in our society. Right now, if you combine those people with diabetes and those with pre-diabetes, you're talking about 1 in 2 Americans. So it is a huge amount of people. And then, when you speak about the child being diagnosed, I mean, that is just such a shock for a lot of families. And so I mentioned the Camp Charm City. You know, the great thing about the camp is it's a day camp that is done in conjunction with Hopkins. And because it's at Hopkins, all the medical staff there are deeply trained on how to care for a person with diabetes and, you know, be aware of highs and lows. So a lot of times, you know, parents with children with type 1 diabetes might not necessarily be able to send them to a regular camp because there might not be medical staff in place to take care of them.
Right.
Our camps allow these kids really to be themselves and to meet other kids like them. So your friend's son might not know any other kids who have diabetes right now, but if he were to attend Camp Charm City, he could meet others like him, and he would also be taught and sort of empowered, how do you thrive with your diabetes, right? Because everyone can thrive with their diabetes. But it does take a lot, and it's a very big adjustment period for a family.
Let's talk about the Maryland diabetes epidemic, okay? Approximately 638,000 people in Maryland, or 12.8% of the adult population, have diabetes. And of these, an estimated 156,000 have diabetes but don't know it, greatly increasing their health risk. How scary is that? Because don't you recommend that every year when you get your physical, you've got to have your blood drawn and get your glucose levels and check everything out to make sure you're on the up and up?
Yes, absolutely. And it definitely is scary. I mean, if you think about it, 13% of our population is significant. And then when you factor in like people like yourself and me don't necessarily have it themselves, but then know someone who does, I mean, this touches every single life in our state.
Mm-hmm.
We do talk a lot about early identification. And the thing about type 2 diabetes is it can be preventable. It's the most preventable chronic disease there is. But a lot of times people don't know that they're at risk. They don't know that they're sort of, you know, on track to develop diabetes. And so they don't make changes in enough time to actually prevent themselves from getting it. So we're doing a lot right now around our diabetes risk test, which is a 1-minute test that you can take online. It asks you 6 or 7 very simple questions. And if you score high, we make recommendations to go to diabetes prevention programs in your area, but we also encourage people, like you said, to go to their doctor, get a blood glucose test. That's truly the way to tell whether or not you have prediabetes or diabetes.
And diabetes is very expensive. People with diabetes have medical expenses approximately 2.3 times higher than those who do not have diabetes. And total direct medical expenses for diagnosed diabetes in Maryland were estimated at $4.9 billion in 2017. In addition, another $2.1 billion was spent on indirect costs from lost productivity due to diabetes. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, this is something that not only hits the individual. So I talked about the cost of insulin, right, has tripled over the past decade. It's increased twofold in the last 4 years alone. So if you're a person with diabetes, some people have to make very difficult decisions. You know, am I able to pay my electric bill or can I get insulin this month? Or do I need to scale back how much insulin I get and decrease the amount of food I'm eating? So these are real challenges that people are dealing with and decisions that they're making. On the employer side, you know, companies understand when they look at their bottom line that healthcare is a huge cost to them. And because of the, you know, two and a half times higher than cost for a person with diabetes versus someone who doesn't have it, employers are recognizing, you know, talking about type 2 diabetes, encouraging people to get active, eat better, will ultimately benefit their bottom line because they're working to prevent people from developing type 2 diabetes.
There's also stigma associated with diabetes, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, people, some people think it's, you know, you get diabetes just by sitting there and eating a bag of sugar. Let's correct them on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say that the main stigma is that, you know, if you get diabetes, you did this to yourself, right? Well, you didn't eat right or you didn't exercise enough and you got it, so it's your problem. And that's really unfortunate. The reality is some of the biggest factors that play into developing diabetes are heredity. So because my father and my sister both have diabetes, I'm at a disproportionately higher risk to develop it. Also, minority populations are 2.5 times as likely to develop diabetes, just simply because they're either African American or Hispanic, Pacific Islanders, all disproportionately impacted by diabetes. And so, you know, yes, lifestyle can be a factor in type 2 diabetes. So that is why we talk about the importance of nutrition and exercise, regular exercise. But at the end of the day, it's a factor and not the deciding factor. Many things go into whether or not you develop diabetes or not.
We are going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about a benefit that you guys have coming up in May. Maryland Viewpoints will continue right after this.
Restrictions may apply. Plans and cost of coverage may vary. Call Protect My Car for details.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you do own a car, truck, or SUV made from 1999 or higher, you could stop paying for car repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny to have it repaired. Just dial **1149 on your mobile phone now to see if you qualify. You must have an automobile made from 1999 or higher, and all repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past. Dial **1149 on your mobile phone today and get your car protected before your next repair bill hits. That's right, total protection for your car and no more repair bills. Just dial **1149 on your mobile phone now to see if your car qualifies. That's **1149. Never pay for car repairs again. Just dial **1149 on your mobile phone now. Dial **1149.
Battery power made by Steel. From trimmers and mowers to chainsaws and blowers, Steel battery tools are exactly what you need to tackle your to-do list. Whether you need to maintain your yard or completely transform your landscape, battery power made by Steel. Steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot, always at a local Steel dealer. Real Steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com. Lowe's and the Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Little one at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Childproofing your home, childproofing your yard, childproofing your in-laws' home and yard.
Of all the things you can read to keep your child safe, the most important is attached to their car seat. Read the instruction manual and use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly. Learn more at safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks here with David McShay of the American Diabetes Association. David, welcome back. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we want to talk a little bit about this Tour to Cure because this is coming up at Goucher College in Towson, May 30th. Talk about this Tour to Cure.
Absolutely. So first of all, Tour to Cure exists because at the end of the day, all the things that we do that I mentioned before, our camp, our advocacy efforts, our education for primary care physicians, do require funds to be raised in support of them. And so we have a number of signature events. And one of our best signature events is our Tour to Cure event, which is coming up on May 30th. It's taking place at Goucher College. And Tour to Cure is great because there's a number of different ways that you can get involved. It is a run, walk, ride. So we have a 5K walk and run, which we introduced just a couple years ago to the program, just to encourage people that, you know, may not be cyclists to bring their other family members out. You know, if you are a cyclist, bring your family members out that don't cycle, and vice versa. You know, if you just want to walk, but you know somebody who's a cyclist, bring them as well. And it ultimately raises funds in support of our mission. We have, aside from the 5K run walk, we also have a number of different bike routes. And if you're a cyclist, you probably know, you know, if you live in the area, that Loch Raven Reservoir and that area is a beautiful place to cycle. And so we have a number of routes that kind of go throughout the Towson area. We have a 63-mile route, which is for, you know, the more experienced cyclist or somebody really looking to take on a challenge. We have a 29-mile route as well, for sort of those middle tiers. And then we have a 16, and we're adding an 8-mile family ride that doesn't really leave the Goucher campus, just so we can kind of, you know, encourage families to come out, get all their little kids out on their bikes without really having to go, you know, out into too much of the traffic in Towson.
What about the walkers? Can they bring the puppies? Puppies included in this?
So not in this particular one. We do have a walkathon in the fall where we encourage puppies downtown. But for this one, just because it's on Goucher's campus, we don't allow puppies. But families, definitely. We have a lot of fun activities. You know, we bring out games. We have face painters and things for the kids. We've also got live music. We have great food from All About Lunch, which is one of our sponsors. And just we really try to create a fun, friendly atmosphere to celebrate the fundraising efforts of all of the people that come out and participate each year.
That's amazing. It sounds like a lot of fun. You can learn more at diabetes.org/TourMD or call 1-888-DIABETES extension 4670. Let's talk a little bit more about improving lives, preventing diabetes, finding a cure. In 2018, the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases at the National Institutes of Health 47,634,000 in diabetes-related research projects in Maryland. What are some of those projects that are taking place now in 2020?
So in Maryland right now, we have one particular a research project that we're funding at Johns Hopkins, which is really focused on type 2 diabetes exclusively. But, you know, one of the reasons that we're trying to raise funds through events like Tour to Cure is we're trying to get more people, more researchers in Maryland to apply for these grants. And one thing I can mention that is outside of Maryland, but I think is really important, is we have a new research program called Pathway to Stop Diabetes. So about 5 or 6 years ago, ADA recognized that we had a really big problem. Not enough researchers coming out of school were choosing diabetes, right? They were going into AIDS or cancer research, and we wanted to really create a structure to encourage some of those brilliant young minds to come into the diabetes field. So Pathway to Stop Diabetes knocks down a couple barriers that young researchers have. The first is that it's a 5-year grant instead of most grants that are given out to young researchers are 1 year. So they get a grant and then they pretty much have to turn around and start raising money again and applying for different grants to continue their research. This really allows them to focus on the science. And also in terms of focusing on the science, many times researchers will be told, you know, if this is your focus, you've got to stay in your lane, whereas ours really allows you to follow the science. So let's say your initial research grant was focused on type 1 diabetes, but you make a discovery that impacts type 2. Well, we want you to pursue that, and we want you to focus on that.
Very cool.
And so far, it's had really good results. We have a number of new patents and new treatments that are under development specifically because of this program.
The Division of Diabetes Translation at the CDC provided $2.7 million in diabetes prevention and educational grants in Maryland in 2018. You know, every year, An estimated 28,000 people in Maryland are diagnosed with diabetes. What are some things that people can, get into maybe volunteer wise? If, you know, so many people are impacted with diabetes or knowing people that have diabetes, what types of things can people do that want to get involved and want to help?
Yeah, so we are a volunteer-driven organization here at the American Diabetes Association. So we are always seeking out volunteers. Obviously, from the day of event experience for Tour to Cure, we are constantly looking for folks to help us with registration or a food service or manning the various rest stops that we have along the route for our cyclists. So we highly encourage anybody interested in volunteering for us to reach out and contact us. We also have a walkathon that takes place in the fall called Step Out Walk to Stop Diabetes, which also requires a massive number of Dave Event volunteers. I will take it a step further and say that for those interested in helping us grow the number of people that are participating in events or the number of companies that are sponsoring us, we're always looking to grow our committees. So the committees focus on everything from planning the event and making sure that the day of event experience is fun and safe for our participants. But also, you know, for us, we just believe that there's so many people touched by diabetes. The more we can get the word out and work through volunteer leaders to help identify businesses that might want to sponsor the event, we are definitely looking for those folks as well. So I would encourage anyone interested in either one of those things to reach out to us at 410-265-0075. We will always find a place for a passionate volunteer to support the ADA.
And also diabetes.org, if you want to check out more on their website. Talk to me a little bit, David, about what the American Diabetes Association hopes to accomplish in 2020. Because, you know, it's hard to look at like long-term goals. So we focus on some of the short-term goals that you can actually maybe achieve. What are some of the visions that you guys have for 2020?
Yeah. So on a local level, I'll mention a couple things. The first is the legislative session is beginning, and we're looking at some bills that helps cap the cost of insulin for a person with diabetes in Maryland. A number of states have already passed similar bills. I know Illinois and Colorado have as well. So we'd like to become one of the early adopters of that bill, because we believe that if enough states do that, then the law will change at a federal level. I mentioned the Camp Charm City. Last year was our first year. We had 40 attendees. We know there are so many more kids in the area. Obviously, I'd love to extend an invite to your son's friend as well that can benefit from this. We hope to double the number of kids that attend the camp. So I'm hoping to get over 80 kids. It takes place at Johns Hopkins University in downtown Baltimore, and it is a day camp. It's for kids that are 4 to 13 years old. So definitely want to encourage people to do that. And then we're also just looking to increase the number of doctors and nurses that attend our primary diabetes is primary conference in November. Last year, we had 216 attend. And this is one of the greatest things we can do as a small chapter of a nonprofit. The population health impact, the ripple effect of even 216 medical professionals learning how to better treat their patients. You're talking about tens of thousands of patients receiving better care because they attended this.
Yeah. And people talk. I mean, even though one doctor may not have been able to attend, another did, and then they take back what they learned from the conference and take it back to their colleagues and spread the word. So that's great. And hopefully you'll get more people this year. That'd be great to increase
the numbers. Yeah, for sure.
David McShay, thank you so much for coming on American Diabetes Association Tour to Cure. We've got that coming up in May at Goucher College, May 30th. Diabetes.org/TourMD. You can also call 410-265-0075 to get in touch to learn more about maybe Camp Charm City, ways to volunteer, and of course, Tour to Cure. Thank you so much, David. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Meredith.
This is Maryland Viewpoints, a presentation of the Maryland News Network heard on radio stations across Maryland. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of radio station ownership, management, or advertisers. Join me again next time for Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks.